What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. I'm Nate List. You can find me on Twitter at An Outrage Jew. And of course, with me is Alexander McKenzie. You can find him on Twitter at Jacked Up on Mountain Dew. You're going to have to look that one up because it's spelled just a little different than it sounds. But Alexander, we've been doing a lot of YouTube videos up to this point. We've done a lot of sort of individual player analysis. We've done clusters of players and analysis around that. But right now, a lot of the discord and discourse that's going on social media is around these running backs in Dynasty and what the potential could be for them long term. You and I looked at a lot of this information over the past couple days. We've looked at the way the landscape is changing, some of these names that are rising up to the top, and we're going to use Keep Trade Cut today to sort of go through sort of the top 15, 20 running backs in this class, make some estimations about what we might expect this year and how we may value these running backs into 2024, and perhaps how to look at running backs as a whole going even years beyond that. For players that are in the Dynasty format. So first and foremost, how are you doing? I mean, this might be the first like official podcast version of this show. I don't know duration. I don't know subject matter necessarily, but we're going to rock with it anyways.
Oh, I feel great. I mean, I'm very excited to, you know, have some open discussion about the landscape of running backs. It's a topic that I feel like you and I've had off these videos all the time, even before and after. And, we've had some very, you know, very strong takes and very strong feelings that we've seen, like looking at this data. I've been deep into, you know, building our algorithm on the back end, and I've seen a lot of these trends. And so it's interesting to kind of have this discussion and let people know, like, how we view this stuff. So,
yeah. So there's a lot here. So we're going to jump right into it. So we're going to do a screen sharing version today. You know, we've been doing a lot of post-production editing, which, I'll fix this. Post-production editing, which can drive me crazy. You can see I'm so anal about the aesthetics as it is. So you guys, as you can see here, for those of you that don't use this, this is keeptradecut.com. A lot of our audience is probably well aware of this website, but it is a crowdsourcing consensus, like aggregate ranking of all the players you can pick by position. In this case, because it's a running back episode, as mentioned at the top, we've got it sorted by running backs. And of course, right now I've got the picks sorted in. I'm actually going to take the picks out of here for the sake of this discussion. We can toggle them back in when the time comes and sort of look at where people are valuing these players. But what's really interesting, and you and I have kind of talked about this, over the past couple of years, we have seen an annual changing of the guards at the top of the running back position. You know, you go back 2 years, or 3 years ago even, we had Najee Harris, who hit the running back two overall at one point, even kind of pressing that running back one territory. You also had Javonte Williams. For everybody who's forgetting and kind of like having this recency bias of where he's currently located, there was a moment in time where Javonte Williams was viewed as the second most valuable running back in the class, which was also within the exact same year that he was drafted. Then we go forward a calendar year. We saw the exact same thing happen with Breece Hall before the injury happened, as well as Kenneth Walker. They were the RB1 and RB2 in the Dynasty landscape at one point in time. And here we are entering 2023. Not so surprising if we're following trends that now it's Bijan Robinson at one. And I realize that Christian McCaffrey is here at two, but if you guys look at the value system that Keep Trade Cut uses, and again, it's not a perfect system, but it's a difference of about 120 points. So you can essentially say that Jahmyr Gibbs is already the RB2. And the only thing that's probably keeping him from moving into that slot is one or two big games. And then people are going to look at the age and they're going to look at the opportunity and go, I'm all the way in. Do you, Alexander, think that at this point in time, it's safe to assume that by week three, week four, we're probably looking at Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and then the list starts from there?
Yeah, I could totally see it. I mean, the team, Detroit Lions, invested, you know, a first round pick in this guy. And historically, running backs who were drafted in the first round got an insane workload. Like you referenced Najee. He has been, since he's received, you know, that first round draft capital, he's led the league in the last, I believe, 2 years in carries among running backs. So, yeah, it's one of those situations where historically running backs have gone in the first round, get an insane amount of workload. And especially if, you know, the Lions leverage the pass catching prowess that Gibbs has been known for throughout his time in college, especially last year in Alabama. You could totally see a few games where he catches like 7 or 8 balls and then goes for 100 yards total and maybe a touchdown. And then all of a sudden people are convinced that he should be the RB2 and overall in dynasty.
There's no doubt about it to me. I mean, yeah, we've watched it year over year. This trend just continues to kind of reveal itself amongst the consensus crowd here. But I wanted to say, so you were kind of bringing up Detroit, and there's a lot to get into right here. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, if we look at Jahmyr Gibbs, sort of the player, Bijan is unquestioned. Am I right? I mean, is there anybody debating whether Bijan is the 101 or the main running back in this class and in Dynasty at this point?
No, I don't think anybody. I think he's got the age. I think he's got, you know, his production profile, his athleticism, you know, scouts, everyone. The consensus is that he's the best running back to come out since, you know, Saquon and Ezekiel Elliott. And because of his age, that skyrockets him to the top of the board easily in Dynasty.
Yeah, there's, and again, it's one of those things, no question, you know, look at Bijan on playerprofiler.com. Obviously, athletic measurables through the roof, 5'11", 215. College production, something that was really obvious. This is a guy that was breaking tackles in an elite level. Target per route run and passing game usage was through the roof. And then, of course, he goes to Atlanta, which has sort of proven to be a place where if you're a good runner, they're already going to make you an even better runner with an exceptional offensive line, you know, a very run-centric opportunity there, and then of course like all the weapons around it. But in 2022, PFF actually graded Atlanta as the best run blocking line in the NFL. So they were number one overall last year, and they entered 2023 currently ranked the number 7 offensive line. So you put a generational talent at running back behind what looks like a top 10 offensive line and put some of these weapons on the outside, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's Drake London. He seems mostly infallible to me, but we have seen this with other running backs, and I want to bring this up because this is actually a fun, like, sidebar discussion. And I'm going to talk about Jonathan Taylor, because wasn't Jonathan Taylor, like, 2 years ago essentially untouchable in Dynasty?
Absolutely. He was untouchable. I mean, he led the league in rushing, what, 2 years ago? And, you know, he's size speed freak, you know. And then, yeah, again, he had the volume, he had the age, and then, yeah, just a small injury, you know, a few injuries came in. Then all of a sudden, you know, the stuff with his contract negotiation, especially across the board against running backs overall, kind of changes your perspective. And all of a sudden now he's what, 24 years old?
It's getting older.
People's opinion of him goes down significantly. And all of a sudden these younger guys skyrocket up at the top of these boards.
So 24 and a half years old, going to be over 25 in the season. But what I really wanted to bring up is what you take a guy that's as elite as Jonathan Taylor, as generationally proclaimed as Jonathan Taylor, significant injury, opportunity. This is sorted to 6 months right now. Let me show you what's happened with Jonathan Taylor, though, in real time. This was the peak of Jonathan Taylor. So essentially in their system, number one, the most valuable player in Dynasty is what that number represents. And look at what has happened ever since then. This is the key to, this is like the skeleton key to running backs. And this is kind of what Alexander and I are going to get into and what we want to allude to people is that the running back position is probably the most fragile in the sense of value cratering and it never finding its way back. I can show you a graph of Trevor Lawrence in Superflex that looks a lot like this, except the other side is a mountain going back up the other way and him regaining that peak value. But at running back, you only ever get here one time. It's like a car driving it off the lot. You will never get back here again. We could see with quarterbacks, though, a significant rebound, their value being associated. They can go up. Guys like this only go down. So with that being said, with Bijan Robinson, obviously, there's no doubts amongst the consensus crowd about his position right now. But again, I just want to allude to the fact that that can be a very, very fragile piece of information and people's dynasty confidence can waver very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you can compare him to like someone like Saquon, who is considered generational, got drafted 2nd overall. All of a sudden, a few injuries come in and then everyone's interpretation of him. I think even that 1 year he came back from the ACL, he was a little up and down on his production and overall everyone was questioning his own ability as a running back and kind of question whether or not he should, you know, even be, you know, in the top 10 consideration, especially even Jonathan Taylor, even coming out There was a lot of questions about his production early on, and then he proved it instantly. I think it just, you know, the value varies so much, and then just a few injuries on a position that gets hit a lot kind of devalues them significantly, as you could see by charts like Jonathan Taylor here.
Yeah, and actually, I pulled this one up for you. This is Saquon.
Oh, Saquon.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this. This is in real time. So this is, yeah, and this is, I mean, look at it. It's barely come back up. But yeah, these are the cliffs. And so it's one of those theories in Dynasty where you can hold on to guys, right? You can you can go get these players in Dynasty. And the question is sort of how long are we holding on to them? Because even through injury, there were people that were quitting on Saquon Barkley. Conversely, there were also dynasty, injury predictors that were saying Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, they were going to miss time last year, and they both ended up playing significant portions of the season, if not the whole season. So it's what also brings me to this gripe that I have, which is don't try to predict injury. Just attempt to predict like probability of injury or potential of missed time. But these guys are like trying to literally say, he's going to miss time versus what are the odds that he's going to miss time? And it's sort of the difference between sensationalizing a subject and really putting like data into it to support it. But on Keep Trade Cut, it's very evident some of these changes that we've seen, amongst the landscape. But let's go back into a couple of these other players for a minute, because I think that the subject of Jahmyr Gibbs being right at the top, right next to Bijan Robinson makes a ton of sense. So let's bring this back up. So Christian McCaffrey, and I brought this up in the Discord, and guys, go check out our Discord description down below. There's a link for it. We have weekly games where we play an XP game where we challenge the crowd. There's constant conversation going on in there, but we had brought up, whether Jahmyr Gibbs could make his way to the second RB spot overall. And I kind of asked people about Bijan in juxtaposition to Christian McCaffrey. I said, how young do I have to make Christian McCaffrey before you're willing to move him over Bijan Robinson at Dynasty? And as you can see here, their difference is what? Looks like 1,500 points on this scale, which is fairly significant. Bijan's 21 and a half. Christian McCaffrey's 27. But knowing McCaffrey's skill set, knowing what he's done, I don't think you have to make McCaffrey much younger than the line was about 24. Mm-hmm. At 24 years old, you would take McCaffrey 10 out of 10 times over Bijan? I mean, because I would. I don't know if you would.
I think about 60% of the time, I'd still kind of lean on the age just because of the, propensity of teams to not want to sign the contract to an older running back and what that usage would mean based off that contract. So, but I'd still think that I would still go McCaffrey because he's proven in the NFL and he's been given the workload to produce at the level of an RB2 overall. Right.
Well, yeah, but the other thing too, and Bijan's yet to sort of substantiate this, Christian McCaffrey beats you all over the place, and being a tackle breaker and being, somebody that's carrying the ball and trying to fight for extra yardage has never been what's baked into his value. And we've seen what San Francisco was willing to give up for this player. We've seen contracts based around Christian McCaffrey. He's just a different player, especially if we look at EPA and some of these other efficiency metrics. He really does change things value for value when he's on the field. But let's go through this list for a second. So, assuming that Jahmyr Gibbs is the RB2 here, are you then considering McCaffrey at 3, or is Breece Hall at 3? Because for me, that's the two guys that are actually in this conversation. I really like Jonathan Taylor, but a healthy Breece Hall to me was better than Taylor in terms of dynasty value and upside.
I mean, just based off the production that he had, he was double digit points per game before he had the ACL injury, and then he's got the age, so he should recover well from the ACL injury, knock on wood. I still think I would go Breece over Jonathan Taylor just because of the age alone, and a potential that it could be a good thing for him with Dalvin Cook being there. They kind of ease him in later in the season so he doesn't try to re-aggravate his injury, and this turns into like a J.K. Dobbins type situation.
Yeah, Hall was exceptional. I mean, two games of his first, six games he'd ever played, two of his games were double-digit targets. The guy was, like you mentioned, double digits in every game. Then we saw him break out with a couple 20-point games, multiple top 10 fantasy finishes in here. So as a rookie coming into the league, he's a guy that I think it's unquestioned. Now, the ACL, tear is often one of those things where it takes a little bit of time for it to, you know, for players to regain their pre-injury capabilities. But I think Breece Hall is a guy that's probably going to lose 2023 to a, you know, fairly significant degree with the Dalvin Cook signing. But in 2024, which, by the way, should make him a value. I mean, we look at him on Keep Trade Cut. He's still valued as the RB4, despite the fact that people know that 2023 was already going to be maybe a lost year in terms of rebound of abilities. And then on top of that, they signed Dalvin Cook, and he's still being valued above guys like Saquon, Jonathan Taylor. But, I mean, if we go down the list and we look at these guys, Saquon's 26 and a half. You know that running back age apex, which is 26, 27. There are some 28-year-old RB1 seasons on the record books. And if we were going to bank on anybody in the future to do it, we would bank on the Nick Chubbs, the Saquon Barkleys, the Jonathan Taylors. Those are the guys that would do it. But in Dynasty, what are we doing with guys that are this age? Are we looking to sell them? If you're a contender, are you looking to buy them? Because guys like Saquon are still not that cheap, despite they're going to enter age 27 this year.
I think if you're a contender and you don't have one of these guys, and the question then comes about the age, I think I'd be buying these guys easily because their value is going to go down. I mean, if you can get two good years, two potential RB1 seasons out of those guys, they're going to get the workloads that would allow you to get an RB1. You can go and buy them for hopefully a little cheaper price. Every year we get these young running backs that come in and then they go sit at the top because they push all these other guys down. But that doesn't mean that teams are still not continuously invested in them. The only problem is just whether or not the contracts will come through, right? I mean, Saquon has a question about his contract. That's the situation where I would be going and trying to buy someone like Saquon, because the question is like whether or not he'll actually get an extension and stay with the Giants and get that workload. We've seen situations where some running backs go to a different team and their workload's completely different and they're getting eaten up by a backup that is potentially just as good.
Yeah, and you're bringing up a great point. It's something that we should probably talk about, is sort of the opportunity and the value with these guys and how we always get obsessed with the next new player at running back that enters the league or gets drafted. And we're doing it right now with Bigsby, and we're doing it with Charbonnet. And admittedly, we like those guys. We like Charbonnet a lot. We do like Bigsby. But they're both, you know, one's a second round, one's a third round guy. And we have to be a little more realistic about some of these. Now, Charbonnet is in a different classification than Bigsby in a lot of regards, with coach speak, with draft capital, with what potential draft capital could have happened as well. But you and I were talking about this earlier, year to year. If we look at some of these guys, I mean, remember Tyrion Davis Price going in the third round?
That's that Shanahan coach worship right there.
Well, absolutely. And we're not so far removed from the draft year. So here's the deal. This is 2022. The bomb hasn't really hit people yet. Let me roll back another year to reveal a bomb. So 2021, I'll move it to the top here. 2021 season, Najee Harris, valuable player. Travis Etienne, valuable. Injury to Javonte Williams, still valuable.
Still valuable.
This is where the shitstorm starts for people. Remember when Trey Sermon, third round pick, San Francisco can't get it right, by the way. Third round pick, not valuable at all. Remember when Michael Carter was going to be the guy, came out with Javonte Williams, part of the reason that there were some arguments about who was better, who wasn't. Fourth round guy, relegated to the bench at this point. Yep. Ramondre, obviously, in the same regards as Damian Pierce, has sort of ascended and exceeded that draft capital and performed incredibly well. So this is that rare outcome, but this is also part of the reason why when we look at the dynasty rankings here and we go to a guy like Damian Pierce and see him at the running back 16 and consider how the NFL is treating running back contracts and how the NFL is creating running back by committees, or, you know, deploying a pass catcher and a grinder, a guy like Damian Pierce, who owns the backfield all to himself and the team has club control over him for multiple years at a valuable price tag and doesn't have a lot of draft capital next year either in Houston. These are the guys to me that really stand out in sort of the new era of fantasy football, price tag for price tag. But let's go back to this for a sec. Kenneth Gainwell, people are still sort of touting him. If he doesn't do anything this year, aren't people just going to write him off completely?
Oh, absolutely. He'll end up being someone like Michael Carter as well, especially if Swift ends up taking over that backfield, which, you know, there's still a question. There's a lot of running backs in that room. I mean, Trey Sermon also being one of those guys in that mix. It may just be a backfield to completely avoid, and Kenneth Gainwell just is gotten forgotten.
Okay, so here's one. You and I talked about this, and you had mentioned it to me
this
the other day.
Crazy. Yeah.
2020 is 2020 is like me putting truth serum in a beer bong and making you chug it. This is like the reality check of everybody. Now, admittedly, yeah. Hand raised, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, burned, got me. Okay, you got me. DeAndre Swift, everybody got burned on Swift. What happened there? You can blame it on the Detroit Lions. We can blame it on something we don't know about. Mm-hmm. Then Jonathan Taylor, we showed you his graph, his current value. Look what happened to him. Cam Akers, injury, inefficiencies in the offense, questions mm-hmm. about the direction that the organization is going and whether he's a part of that, even though we've talked about on other podcasts, they have club control of Akers for 2 more years.
And also injury.
Yeah, injuries. How about J.K. Mm-hmm. Dobbins with injuries?
He's a poster child of injuries, honestly, so for running backs.
A.J. Dillon was a guy that never could get out of a committee backfield situation. Yep. Keyshawn Vaughn, another example of third-round pick never really getting a shot. His opportunity never manifested in Tampa mm-hmm. Bay. Zach Moss, career backup, going to get slim mm-hmm. opportunities, not real value. Darrington Evans never saw him. Never saw Darrington Evans no. whatsoever. But this is the game that we play in Dynasty. This mm-hmm. is where people attempt to convince themselves of, number one, they lie to themselves and assume injuries can't happen. And they also forget that when injuries do happen, they don't have the recall to remember how bad it damaged the value of other players. Look at what it did to Cam Akers. Cam Akers is currently what? He's probably one of the like most, RB23 on Keep Trade Cut. Now, we like Cam Akers. Cam Akers is yep. only 24 years old, right? 2 more years of control for the Rams with him.
Yeah.
If he's good, what's the reason for the Rams to do anything other than maybe in 2024 draft a second-round guy, draft a third-round guy, do exactly what's happening with Travis Etienne, give yep. Akers a 57% snap share, get a backup behind him, let his contract run out, boom, let him go, new running back comes in 2025, backs him up in 2024, right?
Yep, that's exactly it. I mean, this is the future of these backfields now. The feature back is basically gone. There's guys maybe like Bijan, but there's still questions of like Algier in that backfield who had 1,000 yards rushing. I mean, there was no questioning whether or not Algier is better than Bijan. It's just a question of whether or not the NFL in a 17-game season is going to give a running back all the carries, like a 70 to 80% snap share. Like, that's the question. If Bijan hits that, then yeah, he's the RB1 in 2023. But is he going to do that consistently, right? Like, is it going to happen every year? No, because these guys historically have all gotten hit and they drop down in their value significantly. You look at that 2020 draft class, there's a guy that's going in the second round that was deemed a slot receiver, you know, going in the second round of rookie drafts. Then there's a slot receiver named Justin Jefferson that was completely dropped down because of this RB class in 2020. And now those kind of guys are the premium assets to have in Dynasty, those target hog wide receivers that can play inside and outside. And I think that kind of nuance with the trends that's going on in the NFL, you know, obviously the pass heaviness and the extension of the games, it turns into these target hog wide receivers are maybe the guys you should try to be putting more investment in and build your team around. And then, yeah, potentially, you know, maybe going and buying these veteran running backs on a discount.
There's no doubt. And if you guys in the future, very soon here, and you can do this now, go to dynastyrankings.com, sign up for the email. You'll get updates as we get closer. Our rankings are certainly going to be heavily skewed towards the players and the ideology that Alexander and I have. And we're both in the mindset that the wide receivers are the players to own. And to Alexander's point, which he just brought up, and we can zoom in here and kind of look at some of this, these running backs last year, right? Like, look at this. There was only 4 running backs. You can convince yourself that a 70% snap share is a thing. It's not a thing. It's going out the window. Dalvin Cook will never see that again. Not this year, right? So that's
nope,
gone.
Nope.
Christian McCaffrey, who knows? Do you think they want McCaffrey to have to carry that level of load? Probably not, because they believe they're a contending team and McCaffrey's a difference maker. So again, the season is now 17 games. there was already an 18% injury potential to any running back when you enter just a standard football season at 16. Now it's 17. In a year or so, I think, or 2 years, it's going to go to 18. So these teams that believe that they're playoff quality organizations are going to try to keep their running backs healthy enough to make it at least through the 18 games, let alone the additional three or four to get to a Super Bowl. So you can't destroy your running backs ahead of time. But look, go to these other guys. Ramondre was in the sick, you know, the high mid 60s. There, look at this gap from 72 to 64. And then it's a fairly significant drop. The cluster of the main, you know, and obviously we got some other guys in here, but the cluster of these players in here, you look at these snap shares, Eckler, this is where you want the Gibbs guys to be. We don't want them to break down in an NFL season, but for Austin Eckler, a 61% snap share equated to, you know, 18, 19, 20 fantasy points per game. So you can easily survive on that, but the new era of football to the, you know, Travis Etienne players, that's a 59.6% snap share, and they didn't have Tank Bigsby at the time. Right there, there was no Bigsby. And just like we're talking about with some of these other guys, Kenneth Walker was at a 52.6% snap share last year, and there was no Zach Charbonnet. So it's asinine to me when we go look at some of these rankings to think that these guys are just gonna, you know, rise to the top and be considered these like premier assets. And that's the problem with the running back position. They're bringing in backups, they're going to committees, and if you don't have passing down chops, if you don't have the receiving chops, you are less valuable than ever before. Because I think at this point in time, who are the ones that are left? Is it Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry and Kenneth Walker? Like, is that it?
They might be the only ones left that just don't have the receiving prowess that in their game. They may be able to catch, but they're not going to get a significant target share that like allows them to, with that dip in snap share, to be able to maximize. You know, because not the carries do not equate targets, right? Targets are significantly more impactful than carries. Yep. And so you want a guy like Gibbs that Gibbs and any of these guys that have the pass catching target share. You mentioned Breece Hall on the target share. You want these guys to get that because it's more valuable for fantasy points and it's more efficient use of their care, like their touches. So,
That's a fact. And you can see it here. Look, this is sorted by fantasy points per game last year, PPR. Not a surprise to see Eckler and Christian McCaffrey at the very top. And then Josh Jacobs kind of hit that threshold. I've always believed that roughly 60 targets in a given year, and again, we're in 17 games now, but 60, 65 targets to me was kind of like the baseline to get by for some of these running backs to stand out at the NFL level. But look at these guys that are up here. You rarely get the Derrick Henry. Tons of touchdowns, right? That's always been what helped Henry on top of an absurd workload. But then all these other guys, Saquon, 76 targets last year. Joe Mixon, 75 targets last year. By the way, in 14 games, everybody, 14 games for Joe Mixon. Talk about like absolute value. And this is something that we should probably kind of rotate to. Part of what you and I have started talking about is if you're a contending roster, and this is where we should bring the rookie picks in. If you're a contending roster, why is your goal not to just throw a second round pick at one of these proven age 27, 27 and a half, 28 year old running backs? Because, you know, you've got, let's see here. Let's go look at some of these picks real quick. So where's our early? So 2023 early second is down over here. And obviously we're looking at 2024, which will gain some value. But here's those picks. Aaron Jones is roughly, you know, 3,600. That pick's worth 3,300. Joe Mixon, 3,600. Down here, Kamara's worth less than that pick, relative value. So the question, James Conner, in terms of production this year, like all of these guys are worth less than a second round pick. So, or just above. So if you can send a second round pick and a speculative asset, a Josh Palmer, if you can send one of these guys to go then move into Alvin Kamara, who's locked in for 2 years, by the way, with one of the more absurd contracts that's in the league, or Joe Mixon, who has literally nobody behind him. You got to follow the indications of the teams. This is the way that Dynasty is going to need to be played in the future, because you're going to have a lot of committees, and why not be the team that, like you mentioned, invest in the wide receivers because they're going to put up a ton of points. It's the most efficient way to move the ball. And then go and spend seconds on these running backs because why the hell not? If you're going to get two, you're getting 2 years out of Alvin Kamara, right? You're going to get 2 years. Even if Aaron Jones goes to, I don't know, let's say Jones goes to the Raiders next year. Do we not still love his potential? Like, even in your head right now, you're like, oh yeah, okay. I could still see that being a great landing spot.
He still sustains a good target share. He's had a, you know, pretty damn good, clean health record here at 28 years old. And he's super productive. Like, why wouldn't you want a guy? And he's been one of those guys that's kind of been in that split backfield, dealing with Jamal Williams, now dealing with AJ Dillon. So it's kind of helped him last longer in the league, and he's efficient in his points per game right here and his targets that he's receiving. So you want to target these kind of guys because, again, like you said, you want to build your rosters. The new age NFL is when you want to build your rosters for dynasty leagues around these target hog wide receivers. If you've got those guys, you should, try to go and get someone like Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, you know, those kind of guys that are still like on their teams, still going to be used in the, you know, the lion's share of the backfield. Like, why wouldn't you want those guys to be able to win or try to at least try to get into the playoffs and have a chance to win your league?
Yeah, and Joe Mixon's a great example of that. Over the last 3 years in the league, not less than 16.1 fantasy points per game. You know, obviously getting the volume, getting the target opportunity. Again, look at opportunity share last year. Running back 7 in the league. They didn't add, and we could go to this roster on Our Lads for the depth chart here. There's nobody that was added to this roster, and I realize that we play Dynasty, so everybody always wants to try to, you know, look at the next guy on the list and go, oh, he's going to be the guy. He's going to take over. But look at this. There's nobody here. If Joe Mixon, and this is a classic case, if Joe Mixon gets hurt, any number of these running backs might be a fine play week to week. They don't have the ceiling of Joe Mixon. But when Joe Mixon comes back, Joe Mixon gets his role back. He's not losing his job in 2023, right? Like, so... No. This is where the backup isn't as valuable. I like Bigsby, and I can see a scenario where Bigsby is good enough that if ETN came back, even if ETN had a 61% snap share, I could see that going to like 56% to divide the workload up a little bit more for Bigsby, because part of the problem too is once you've shown a team that you have a little bit of injury propensity within a year, they start to manage reps and opportunity a little bit more to try to elongate that potential. And it's even more important within a roster like the Cincinnati Bengals, who very clearly fancy themselves a contending roster. And there's no way in hell they want to get RB2 or deeper within this roster. There's just nobody that you even want to touch here, right?
No, and like you said, the team like had a choice. There was questions on whether or not the Bengals were going to release him. So they basically showed you their cards saying that we're going to stick with this guy for the rest of his contract. And again, that builds security in too, right? Like Alvin Kamara only suspended 3 games. Same similar situation. You get him back after 3 games and he's giving you, you know, RB1 numbers because he's going to get the usage. I know we love Kendre Miller, the profile of him, but the team isn't extremely invested in his contract. So they're going to use him out till he finishes out that contract. If not, injuries derail him just like kind of everyone else in this situation. But yeah.
Yeah, and that is the downfall of just about every player in the NFL. Like that injury, history starts to stack up. And I was going to bring up Alvin Kamara here because this is a great example. Let me see if I can zoom this in a little bit here. This is a perfect example of what we're talking about. I mean, look at the dead cap, $33 million. That's where everything originates. So we get into 2022, 25.5, 24.7. 16.7, like, you know, and they say potential out, but it's $16.7 million in dead cap money. So when is he going away? Like, you could see the cut candidate at maybe $9 million somewhere down here, or whatever they can do before a particular date to achieve this. But that's a lot of money invested in the position. So I just don't see a guy like Kendre Miller, short of injury, like really bursting through. Now, we did see Alvin Kamara when he showed up on the scene. He affected Mark Ingram in a significant way, but they both found a way to survive in that offense. But nonetheless, I think that running backs as a whole, if you're a contender investing in the age running backs is important. Now, if you're one of these guys that's getting one of these younger running backs, it's going to prove itself to be true attempting to get out a year early, because this is going to be the thing where people are going to start to talk about this. If it's a rookie, a first round pick, they've got a 5-year deal, you know, because they get that fifth year option, mm-hmm. you're probably going to have to consider, if you're looking to sell for value, probably in the middle of year three before they hit that year four, maybe coming up on year four, but you might see potential holdouts. You might see the Jonathan Taylor situation where Jim Irsay would rather move a fucking whale. By the way, RIP to the whale. I don't know the story on that. I'm not an oceanographer. But anyways, point being, why are we talking about whales? It's great subject matter. But the point is, if you can get these guys young enough, it still makes sense to me to try to get these guys in rookie drafts where they're maybe less expensive if it's possible. Like, you're not getting Bijan, though. Bijan's too much. And why pay up for that? Why not go for a Damian Pierce or play running back on a shorter scale? You and I play 3 years at a time in Dynasty. That's mm-hmm. our window, right? So with that in mind, with running back, it's almost a little bit shorter lifespan. It's almost 2 years at a time. You could play it 1 year at a time, but 2 years tends to make a little more sense. You give yourself a little more security. You can build a little further ahead. If you go, okay, I've got Rashad White, I believe in Rashad White over the next 2 years, rather than going, I've got Rashad White for only 1 year. How do you construct a roster? You're essentially doing an entire roster then year to year if you're only looking at running backs in a 1 year window. But you want to remain liquid in that sense. I mean, do you have a thought on sort of valuing if you're a building roster, if you're rebuilding, how are you looking at these running backs? Are you still looking at the older running backs, or are you focused more on these younger running backs?
It depends. If my roster, if I'm rebuilding and I have one of these veteran running backs, I'm trying to get the value I can for them, right? And then building upon that to try to stack on these type of, try to package a deal to get some of these target hog wide receivers that have a longer lifespan in the dynasty realm, right? Guys, you know, obviously maybe you could try to get a first round and your running back and Saquon for maybe, you know, Amon-Ra or somewhat a bigger name wide receiver to build your roster around. So those guys have a longer shelf life, right? If you can do that, obviously people have different evaluations, but I think, yeah, when you're building your roster, I think, and you need players to build around it, I'd start with the wide receivers. And if you don't have wide receivers, I would start trading your aging running back assets towards getting those target hog wide receivers. And then, you know, building in these running backs in the later rounds.
It's always been my mentality to build around wide receiver. I've always disliked running back because of the touchdown volatility, the injury risk, the committee approach. So I've sorted on keep, trade, cut. I've now put wide receivers in with the running backs to illustrate this. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson at the top, valued significantly more than Bijan. And rightfully so, by the way. I will have this debate with anybody. Then it's Bijan. Okay, that's fine. Then look at how many receivers before we get to the next running back. Garrett Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra, Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave. Now we're back to running back.
Yep.
Right? Seven guys. And I wouldn't disagree in the slightest if you had every one of those wide receivers over every one of these running backs. And in fact, as you've said, Jackson Smith, it's possible to look back in a couple years, even 2 years from now, and go, I prefer him to Gibbs, where Gibbs is. I prefer him to Breece Hall, who's now 22 and lost a year to Dalvin Cook in injury. Tyreek's going to get older. All these guys. So it's interesting because you go McCaffrey and Gibbs cluster in here. Then Devonta Smith, very curious that he is right there with Breece Hall. All things considered, Breece at 22. This is really interesting. This would be the tough decision that owners have to make. Depending on the dynasty league that you're in, if you've got the room, Devonta Smith for Breece Hall is a deal that I probably would make. I like Devonta Smith. I think he's going to battle that sort of hybrid 1A, 1B situation. Probably going to remain a guy who's 125 to 135, 140 targets, which is valuable. But to get a guy like Breece Hall, who could then rebound at 23, have the backfield to himself, that's sort of one of those concessions we have to make. Knowing that Devonta Smith has possibly five more very productive years, six more, and we know that Breece might have three and a half before you've got to take him out to pasture. It's a tough decision to make in Dynasty, but at some point you have to sort of break the chips a little bit and switch yourself into a mode where you do acquire these guys. Now, I'm not necessarily going after Breece Hall, as we've mentioned. I'm trying to go after more of the value. I'd hate to have to send Devonta Smith versus some of my other draft picks, but I digress. Let's go down the list a little more real quick. McCaffrey, Gibbs, boom, receiver, then Bijan, then Tyreek, Jackson Smith, Higgins, London, and then we get to the Barkley-Taylor cluster. So it's interesting because Taylor's approaching age 25, Barkley is approaching age 27. If one of these guys gets injured, if one of these guys plays inefficient, going into next year, if DK has another standout year, is it going to be a push for people with like Saquon to DK? You know what I mean? Like, is it about even?
It's about even. Yeah. I mean, because you easily could see DK still 25, plays in a situation where he's not going to get hit nearly as much as Saquon or Jonathan Taylor. So you can easily see DK skyrocket up these charts and be right under, you know, right under Higgins, above Higgins, you know, in that range with JSN. Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, yeah, DK has a great year. He plays in a situation where he's less likely to get hurt, right? And again, we're not projecting injury. It's just the nature of the position right now, right? It's the historical references of all these players that are given this amount of carries and so on and so forth. So you could easily see just even a lapse in usage, right? So let's say they draft another running back in one of those rooms, right? Like, especially in Indianapolis, Taylor's not happy with his contract, signed some sort of, you know, weak extension, or he's at the end of his contract and they go sign somebody and he has to battle it out with another, you know, somewhat talented running back. You could easily see Metcalf leapfrog these guys because, you know, DK would be a great addition there. So,
and we've seen, I already showed it with some of these graphs, like at running back, when your value starts to crater, it never goes back to where it used to be. It never goes back to where it used to be. And we look at some of these guys. CeeDee would actually be an interesting one to click on here because early career, I remember people saying that CeeDee Lamb just wasn't doing enough, even though he's putting up 1,000 all scrimmage yards amongst really talented groups of people. Here's a great example, though. Look at the dips that CeeDee Lamb saw, right? Even peak CeeDee Lamb here is, what, 7,800 on their system, and currently now he's about 73. He's close, and if he has another good year, I think he remains within that value. But he rebounded from the depths of the 5,700-point range. That just isn't going to happen at running back. You're just not going to see these guys rebound back to that. I'll do Breece Hall. I just would be curious what Breece Hall is. So Breece Hall entered a little low, major spike, right? This is peak Breece Hall.
Right.
He only played a few games. Breece Hall's not getting back to 7,400 within this system. You know what I mean? Like, there's no chance that he ever gets back to this point. So that's just the inherent risk of the position. You draft a running back, you trade for a running back, they get hurt, the market gets squeamish, concerned, worried about their potential, worried about their rebound. Then you try to go sell them, and they're less valuable. Where a guy like Devonta Smith, even as sort of the 1B option to A.J. Brown, he's not losing his value. Like, he's going to hold that value over the next couple of years with Jalen Hurts. And we can make that argument for many of these other wide receivers. I just think that it's so risky to play the running back game. Why not be the guy that's trying to find the value in the middle, trade for the veterans, and then just keep playing the veteran loop? Because the other thing is the hit rate on these guys in your rookie drafts, running backs, second round running backs have a reasonable hit rate. It's 53.6% over the last 10 years. Second-round wide receivers, though, over the last 10 years, have a hit rate of 20.1% of something in that range. So when you trade a second-round pick and these guys decide that they're going to go the route of wide receiver, Josh Downs, Jaden Reed, all these guys that we like the names of, Marvin Mims, odds are most of these guys aren't going to do anything. Like, it feels like they will, but they're probably really not going to manifest into something significant in the league. And a big part of this is teams draft for fit. They draft for need. They're not necessarily drafting to put an alpha out there. You think that if Detroit knew that Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be as good as he was, he would have gone in the fourth round? No. He would have gone in the second, or he would have gone in the first. Like, guys, wake up. It just doesn't, it doesn't work like that. So I think that it makes sense. Trade your second round picks, work your way into these running backs, and year over year over year. I mean, imagine when you get to the year when Saquon and Jonathan Taylor are at the price tag of a second round pick. Imagine when that year comes. We're what, year, 2 years? Yeah, two with Barkley probably. Yeah. And you know, maybe a little more with Taylor, but we're mm-hmm. not that far from these guys being just like a ridiculous value. Even Derrick Henry for that matter, like a great value. I don't know when Derrick Henry is going to stop running the way he does. And there's not a model in existence that could tell you with certainty when that's going to end, right?
No, no, exactly. And again, like you go back to these draft classes, and I think it's also just the way you take on these rookie draft classes. If there's first round wide receivers that are going in the second round, you look at the class, for example, and some of these, so what I was referencing is this draft class and like average ADP. Some of these were like, you know, Clyde 101, you know, Jonathan Taylor back and forth, Jerry Jeudy, then DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins. Those four running backs from that 2020 class were going at the top of the first round. And then you got guys like CD going in the middle of the first round of rookie drafts, Justin Jefferson, the end of the first round of rookie drafts, you know, T. Higgins at the top of the second, if not the bottom of the first round. And the over-evaluation of these running backs, none of those guys are as valuable as Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb, or T. Higgins. I think it's just that alone, that draft class alone, that's only, what, 3 years ago at this point? That tells you that just the entire landscape has completely changed. The valuation of running backs, early round running backs, and getting those kind of guys, it's a lot more risky now than it used to be. You know, it used to be one of those situations that you get your running backs early in the first round because they're going to get an insane workload. They're going to hold their value. But as you said, as evident by Ketre Cut and historically the last like three or four draft classes, these guys are dipping significantly. And these target hog wide receivers are the guys that you want because it's a passing league.
And it's year over year. And again, you want to buy your way into wide receiver production. Guys like Cooper Kupp, guys like Keenan Allen. These guys are just everywhere. And if we were going to make the argument, of longevity, you would necessarily make it for the guys that have been sort of the short area, more route centric winners at the league level. Not these guys like Julio, not these guys like AJ Green, not these bursty, you know, Calvin Johnson wide receivers that we eventually see their career diminish because of the injuries, the foot injuries, the leg injuries, the getting tackled, the big plays downfield. And I had run some data analysis on it before, and ADOT and sort of type of usage and deployment on the field really did reflect what guys were playing longer. These Marvin Harrison type, the Julian Larry Edelman Fitzgerald types. Yeah. And now Fitzgerald is like unicorn, right? But we also saw
his average depth of target went down over time, but he still was extremely useful during that
and
time.
He did the Vincent Jackson thing where they both went into the slot at the end of their career and elongated what existed. So reading the tea leaves, investing in proven guys versus getting caught up in these new wave rookie assets. Again, I opened the show to mention how the last 3 years the rookie class has been the guys that ascend to the 1 and 2 spot. And by the way, the Najee year, that's when Christian McCaffrey was still in his like age 24 season. That's insane to me. McCaffrey was coming off like some injuries, but a 27 point per game or a 29 point per game season. And you guys were going Najee Harris over him. Admittedly, we think that Najee Harris could be the Josh Jacobs of 2023. But with that being said, it's like leaning into the pass catchers, leaning into the value, leaning into the wide receivers, investing in the youth at that position just makes more sense and probably smarter to start focusing on the second round rookie picks getting sent for these veteran running backs. Because again, we looked at some of these gaps at wide receiver and running back, and that's without mentioning the names that could still climb, the Drake Londons, the Christian Watsons, again, the Jackson Smith and Jigbas. These guys could all play well enough this year and have sort of an awakening, and all of them jump Taylor and all of them jump Saquon. And right, like it's not hard to believe.
JSN's already above Taylor here at this point.
Yep.
And, you know, he's 21 years old and he hasn't done anything in the league.
Nothing.
The consensus You know, this is people voting every single time they go on this site, and they go and look and say, hey, who do I prefer? You know, keep, trade, cut, right? Easily. Yep. And they're deciding that JSN is way more valuable than Jonathan Taylor, who at one point was the league leading rusher, right? And he's only 24 years old. So what does that tell you about the entire landscape of the running back?
At one point, you couldn't buy Jonathan Taylor. There was no amount of money. People were talking about sending four firsts. Good thing you didn't do that. But yeah, to your point, like the JSN thing and the value of these wide receivers and just how much it's changing. And one thing, guys, over at DynastyRankings.com, when the site launches, one thing that you're going to see with our rankings is that we're a three-year window, and we were talking about this yesterday. There's sort of three avenues of this stuff. There's player value, there's neutral, and then there's fantasy points. A lot of guys build rosters more on sort of the player value side of things. They want the pretty roster. They want the exciting young names. They want the liquidity and the assets, which makes sense. But at the end of the day, our goal, the model's goal, is to put you guys in a position where you're drafting the guys that not only have the most long-term value, but are also going to get you the most fantasy points today. And that's a big part of this. So where you go to a lot of ranking systems, and to be quite honest with you, I'm going to tell you this straight up. It's probably a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's probably a lot of make you feel good rankings and honorary rankings where we have to have player X above these two guys. Even though we know in 5 weeks, we're going to move X wide receiver down below wide receivers Y and Z to start the year, because I don't want any backlash from the user base of this rankings site. I'm going to put him here, even though I know I'm already going to move him. Something we want to do is be more predictive, be more ahead with the rankings. So that's something you guys will see very soon. Alexander, we have spent 51 minutes talking about this on this episode. I think we knocked out a lot of nuance in this, went really in depth on quite a few of these positional values and kind of looked at how things can change in the landscape. So thank you very much for knocking this one out of the park. This is going to be probably the first podcast we drop. We'll continue to do more like this. Guys, link in the description. Go hop in the Discord. That's going to continue to grow. I've added a couple more interesting chat bots to it, which are shaking things up amongst the crowd. But again, we've got a trade channel. We've got a Rate My Roster channel, one of the more active communities, really great communities. So go check that out. Sign up over at DynastyRankings.com. Put your email in. And of course, hit the subscribe button on this channel. Help Alexander and I blow this thing up so we continue to make more videos and you guys don't miss a thing going ahead, because I think we're gonna have a lot more stuff like this as our analysis starts to get released to the world and the rankings become available, and we can start to share some of our own personal insights based around the algorithm that we have designed. So again, thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week.